Welcome to RC Hangar Time, a weekly RC aviation podcast.
Well, hey there, gang. Welcome to this 29th installment of RC Hangar Time podcast. And I'm Crash, and wait a minute. That's not right.
Yeah, wrong show. Or oopsie. Right show, wrong host.
Oopsie. Did I call the wrong number again?
How'd he get on here?
What are we doing?
You guys will let anybody in here, won't you?
I know. We're stealing everybody from the Crash Cast.
Yeah. Well, we're welcome to, we feel welcome to come over, and we like to come over and a little cross contamination, we'll say.
Yeah.
Oh, there's no telling what you're going to walk away with us.
Yeah. So if you guys hadn't noticed, Crash is with us today. He's going to be our special guest this week.
Special. Are you doing air quotes?
Yes. Air quotes on that. No. But anyways, looks like this week we've got Paul with us. What's up, Paul?
Hey, not too much.
And TJ.
I'm right here, guys.
Cool. And that's it. I don't know where everybody else is, so everybody else is busy today, I suspect. I know Wade is working, so he won't be around today. I don't know where anybody else is, but we're moving forward. So what have you guys been up to this week?
Well, let me start. I have been manufacturing. The CNC machine's been fired up for the last few days. I've got scars all over my hands for knocking out tabs and dead space pieces, and I've been manufacturing quadcopter frames and flying said quadcopters. I've already put two prototypes through the mill, and that's about it. I haven't flown fixed wing in a couple of weeks while. And, of course, I don't fly rotaries like some people because I suck at that. It costs too much.
No kidding.
But that's about it for me.
Sweet.
So do we each get a frame?
Well, maybe. For the small price of $35.
That's actually not too bad.
Actually, I would say that's actually a pretty good deal.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about that in a little bit. You have to bear with me on it. This is all new to me, manufacturing for this type of business. But yeah, there's going to be some opportunities.
Sweet. Look forward to hearing more about that in a little bit. How about you, Paul? What you been up to?
Well, I'm down to like 5 weeks from the second annual Fly What You Brung fly-in here in Pittsburgh. So my whole basis, other than my flying time, has been trying to get all the sponsors who have promised to send me stuff to actually send me stuff.
Yeah.
So.
And I see that you used the WWCS method today, whatever Wade can steal, and loaded up your van full of airplanes.
That was so sweet. There's this guy at the field, old guy, you know, Q-Tip, and he don't fly anymore. And he asked me a couple weeks ago if I wanted some planes. I said, okay. So he brought me that 60-size Corsair and a 70-inch World War II bomber a couple weeks ago that I've been flying. And today he shows up with two giant-scale Joe Breedy Aero Commander Shrikes, a mini Aero Commander Shrike, a floppy disk, and what I believe to be a Parkman F-18. I had trouble shoving it all in the van to bring it home. But hey, never look a gift horse in the mouth. Free airplanes is free airplanes.
Yeah, for sure.
Heck well, yeah.
Sounds like a good score.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So that's what I've been up to.
So we call you Wade Jr.?
Yeah. Hey, everybody needs to take some advice from Wade. That guy's just raking them in left and right. Every day he calls me, dude, I got this new plane. It's awesome. It's like 10 feet long, and it's huge.
And it sounds like you took it right from Wade's page, too. It's the same type of the older gentleman with planes they don't know what to do with. It's his MO.
Yeah. See, we have a guy like that up here that he's been putting this ad out. We have a local thing. It's kind of like Craigslist, but it's different for us. But anyways, he's getting rid of everything that he owns. He's an older guy, and he's trying to sell everything. I mean, he's got pictures of hundreds and hundreds of planes, and it's like, wow, that's amazing. But he wants $35,000 for everything.
Well, George didn't want anything for these planes. He gave them to me. Just, he wants to see them fly. They've never flown. And he says before he dies, he wants to see them airborne. So I promised him I'd fly them.
Nice.
Sweet. I had an older gentleman from the flying club give me a plane once, but it was like in two pieces. But told me if I could fix it, I could have it. So it's in my garage.
Nice. That's awesome. So how about you, TJ? What you been up to?
Not so much. Actually, I started on building a one of those baby blenders from Flight Test.
Cool.
Started scratch building one of those, cutting those out. I wished I had a CNC machine because I'm getting tired of having to cut out the plans. And then
I know a few guys on the show today that has a CNC machine.
Yeah, I know. I keep listening to that and I keep thinking one of these days I've got to get me one of those flat printers. That would be so awesome.
Yeah.
So, but outside of that, and then getting some simulator time, that's been about it for me this week.
Nice. So I've been busy this week. I think I'm probably the only one that's actually gotten in a bunch of flying this week, it sounds like.
Yeah, some of us have a life.
Oh.
And work.
Flying is my life.
And family.
So, yeah, I've gone out almost every day this week and have been flying a bunch of packs every day before work. And then went out. I didn't fly yesterday. I was doing some maintenance on the 550. And then I went out to the flying field today, and I've been out there for quite a while this afternoon. And it was pretty awesome. I took out my GoPro and I put it laying down on the ground and put a stick next to it to indicate where it was. And everybody was trying to fly over it and do 3D over it with their helicopters and hit the stick and, you know, get as close as they can with the, or to the GoPro and get their helicopter in the video. So I got a lot of cool video from that, and everybody had a lot of fun trying to fly over the GoPro and keep it in one spot, and it was a lot of fun.
Cool.
So I've got a lot of cool video that I'm going to be working on the next couple of days.
Nice.
So,
you know, speaking of helicopters, a special guest for my fly-in this year is going to be Kyle Stacey.
Awesome. That'll be good.
Oh, yeah. He is a monster.
Yes, he is. I would like to meet him and fly with him someday.
Well, you need to come to Pittsburgh September 14th.
Yeah. I wish. I wish there was
Paul, if I had some vacation, I'd be there.
Cool.
Yeah, me too. How about you get in one of your airplanes and pick me up?
I don't think they're quite big enough.
Well, I thought you flew full scale.
Yeah, I'm not flying to Utah in a 172. It'd take me like 3 days.
Take me 3 days to drive there.
See? So just get in your car.
But think how you could build that logbook.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that's just one step closer to your commercial pilot's license.
I'll never get that.
The only thing I can imagine, though, it's got to be just as boring to fly over as it is to drive through those states.
Yeah. Some of those states are pretty boring, like Kansas, where it's just flat for days. And it's like, oh.
Oh, it is.
That's why they call that flyover country, right?
Yeah,
exactly.
You don't want to drive through it.
Yeah, it's brutal. But yeah. Cool. Anyways, should we get on to some news?
Absolutely.
And now, from RC Hangar Time's News Center, it's time for news.
Well, I've got a little bit of news. Red Wing RC is kicking out two new planes, both of them 30cc. A 30cc Slick and a 30cc MX-SR. Both are 3D style aerobatic planes. And I don't know if you guys know much about Red Wing, but they offer the complete package. They call it the Red Wing Red Deal. Both of them, you can get them with a DLE 35 rear exhaust engine for $440 plus shipping. That's a pretty good deal. I mean, we're talking servos, extensions, fuel tanks. I think you need to put batteries in it, though. I don't think it comes with the batteries.
Cool.
And the great thing is our friends at Red Wing are going to send yours truly a MXXR to review.
Oh, sweet.
Yep. I promised them I'd review it on the podcast, so that should be coming up here in a few weeks.
Well, good. We look forward to hear that.
Yeah, that's going to be some fun.
I think you should pass around between all of us so we can all review it.
Yes.
You know what? I have got no problem with that. I'll build it, fly it, you know. I'll bring it to Indiana, no problem.
Yeah, oh, don't be stingy like some other hosts that we know. Like, I'm not going to say any names, but Wade.
No, you know, when somebody gives you a plane like that to review, I think it's only fair that as many people as possible get their hands on it so you can get their opinion of it. My opinion is just that. It's my opinion. And if we can get a consensus of a bunch of people, I mean, that gives them a more realistic outlook on how the plane actually performs.
I completely agree. So, yeah. Drive up here to – or you can actually just fly up here to South Bend, Paul. It's not that far.
I'll drive up. I haven't flown in a while.
Okay. Yeah, drive up. I'll try it out. I'll review it, and then I will mail it to Mike because I'm not driving that far.
Yeah.
I'll ship it to you.
Sounds like we got a plan in the works here.
Sweet. Cool. You got anything else?
No, that's it for me.
All right. I got one. TSA model. They've got a bunch of new helicopters that they're coming out with here pretty soon. They were revealed at IRCHA. They've got the 700 Nitro Platinum and the 700E Platinum. The 700 Nitro Platinum is going to be $659, and the electric is going to be $599. These are for the airframes. And then they've got the Pro Series, and they're a little bit cheaper. They're about the 700 Nitro Pro is $449 for the kit, and the electric is $429 for the kit. And same thing, same sizes and everything for the 600. So the only difference is that they're on the pros, they've got some plastic parts on the, like the blade grips are plastic and some other things are a little bit different than the platinum. The platinum's got all of your aluminum upgrades on it and all that. And these look like really nice helicopters. I'm really looking at the 700 Nitro. It's a nice looking heli. So
I just posted a link to the Red Wing there so you guys can see it.
Oh, yeah, cool.
Cool.
I'll check that one out. Well, I got some news.
Let's hear it.
Actually, I got a few things I wanted to talk about.
Is there any helicopters involved?
Lord, no. I can throw a couple of things in because it's all kind of inclusive. But I don't know if anybody else has noticed, but Horizon Hobby lately seems to be like dramatically slashing their prices on a lot of their stuff.
Oh yeah.
Like their that UMX, the MiG-15 that came out last year.
Yeah, I saw that. It's like what, $70 now?
Yeah, $80. The thing was $170. And it's now $80. I couldn't believe it. But it's not just
that's
it.
That's crazy.
Their 450, the 3D, is down in price. I can't remember what the price is right now, but it's a helicopter, so it's cheaper.
It don't matter. It's a heli.
It's a heli. Who cares?
Nobody buys helis.
Who flies those stinking things? No, but a lot of the things. What's the A5? The A5 Icon is like 119 plug and play.
Wow. Well,
you know, even their little indoor vapor, the little super small vapor, they've got that down to $30.
$30? I didn't see that one.
Yeah, $30.
They were like 100 and something when they first came out.
Well, and I'm not talking about the regular vapor and then the night
the micro.
This is
itty bitty micro vapor.
Yeah, the super micro.
The mini vapor.
I would not have bought one of those, but you know, and I'm still thinking about it. I might get one, but $30. You can fly that in your living room.
I know.
Yeah.
What I was thinking.
Oh yeah. No.
Will it hover?
Yeah, not on a 30 milliamp battery. We need more power.
I think we can find a way to oomph that up. A couple other things. They're Spitfire, because I love Warbirds. $70 for their Ultra Micro. I mean, their prices, I don't know if they're trying to compete with other people or whatnot right now, but wow.
Historically, when they start to do that, when they start to slash prices, usually means that they're clearing inventory because they're fixing to a new release, maybe the same type. Look what they did. Remember the little Sukhoi, the Ultra Micro Sukhoi.
Mm-hmm.
And then they dropped the price to nothing on that. Then they came out with the, I forget what it was, but it was the better one, the larger motor, the long throw servo. And then, you know, the Ultra Micro Foresight, you know, that came out. And then they came out with a 2S brushless version. So they may be getting ready to revamp.
Yeah, I'm wondering, because that's true. They usually did that with like one or two products for something coming out that's going to be similar to it, or something that doesn't sell very well. But it's like across the board they're cutting prices, so they must be planning something big coming down the road.
Or they're going out of business.
Oh, no. Yeah, okay. This is Horizon. But
they're not going out of business, but did you guys know that John Redmond left?
Yes. Yeah, he bought up
JetCat.
JetCat, that's what I thought it was. That's awesome. I got to meet him once a couple of years ago at the Indianapolis Air Show. Amazing guy.
So, yes, yeah, he is.
It's a lot of fun to talk to. In fact, I'll say that's probably one of my favorite episodes of the Crash Cast was when you guys had him on there.
Yeah, yeah. That was a good one.
Oh, that was hilarious. I laughed driving down the interstate. I was lucky to keep my car on the road on that one. But I remember things every now and then.
Nice. So, anything else in the news?
I do. I'm sure a lot of you know that I posted just a fun little survey. It was short. It was quick. Just to kind of get a consensus of my brain left me. See, it does that all the time. kind of see the demographics of our group. Who likes to do what? Who, you know, skill levels, things like that, interests. We got 38 people actually took this survey over the last 3 days, which is quite awesome. I'm glad to see a lot of people participated. And just for fun, and I'm sure we'll probably do some more surveys down the road, you know, all fun things. But the six questions, first question, what level of pilot do you consider yourself? Just about 71% of the group consider themselves to be intermediate. But we actually have 8% of the people who consider themselves to be master. Ain't
I chose
better
master
than me. I figured it was you. Probably answered the 3 times it was answered.
I did take the survey twice. So two.
Oh, and you know what? You took it twice, and you still couldn't sway the votes on the last question.
I know.
Oh, it's so sad. But we have a couple of people considering themselves beginners, which is great. And the more, the merrier. A few pros in the group. Second question was, what do you like to fly? A resounding majority fly airplanes. Go figure.
What is this group coming to?
Now, mind you.
It senses.
It senses. But mind you, this was a multiple choice question, so you could click whichever answers you like. But resoundingly, just about everybody flies airplanes.
That's, yeah. Well, airplanes are easier to fly. Only the masters can fly.
Easier to learn, harder to master.
Only the masters can fly the helis. So since there's a limited amount of masters, then
only people with ADHD can fly helicopters.
Exactly. Because I can't sit still in one spot.
Yeah. Let's see. I'm pretty slow and lazy, so I'm good with airplanes. I'll stick to that.
I think I did actually select on that one both airplanes and helicopters, because mm-hmm. I do fly both.
I was upset that model trains didn't show up.
Yeah. What about slot cars? What the hell?
Really?
Slot cars? People still do slot cars?
Oh, yeah.
I guess you got to do something in Utah, huh?
Yeah, I have a grand championship slot car race after this podcast show.
Ooh.
Only masters are invited.
Master in your own right. Third question of the survey was, which power source do you prefer? And it's pretty interesting, but 55% chose electric. So most people are electric, and I think that seems to be the common trend throughout the hobby anyways. More people are switching to electric. Gas and nitro were about dead even with 13% each. And then there was actually 18% of the people, whatever it takes to get it off the ground. question number four, what style of flying do you prefer? Again, interesting, especially with the decent number of heli pilots that we have. But 48% of the people prefer scale flying. There's about 20% that like pattern. 32% people do 3D. And of course, and I know, Mike, you answered it this way. 42% of the people said, my own style because I'm an enigma. Deal with it.
You know it.
You know it. I knew that was – that's why I put that question, because I knew that would be you.
I chose pattern. I chose pattern pilot.
Mm-hmm. I thought about it. We have – at my flying field, we've got a lot of guys that fly pattern and fly competitive, and it's very interesting to watch them fly that. I've never really seen – my old field when I lived in Indy, we didn't have anybody that flew pattern, but up here in South Bend, there's a lot of guys that do. And it's really – at first when you sit there and just watch them, it's kind of boring, but to actually see what they're doing and their concentration to flying these boxes and perfect, it's just – it's a lot of intensity.
Yeah, and you'd be surprised at – you know, it takes a lot of discipline. You'd be surprised at just how difficult it is to pull off even the intermediate schedule of maneuvers. So, yeah, but that's – once I got into that, that's, you know, it's all fluid. It's almost like, you know, poetry in the sky.
Yeah, it really is. When you watch it, it's really interesting.
Yeah.
Question number five, asking people, what do they prefer? About 13% prefer ready to fly. About 37% prefer ARFs. And only 7% like P&P or plug and plays. I was kind of impressed with that, or kind of befuddled by that one. And we actually have Crash, you'll like this one. 36% of the people like kits.
All right.
I like that. You
keep
got me
alive.
In the building.
I chose kit because most of my helis are kits.
Are kits, yeah.
So I didn't know which way to go on that because they're, you know, I buy airframes. They come in as an airframe, so I actually have to put it together and follow an instruction manual. So
that's kind of, amazingly, they still fly.
That's kind of a kit, right?
Yeah, but you know, especially in helis, if you get that as an ARF, aren't you going to take that every bolt, every nut off and Loctite it and make sure everything is proper anyway?
Oh, for sure.
So I just as soon build it from a kit to begin with.
Yeah, for sure. And a lot of these, even nowadays now, a lot of these kits, like your Alliance and even the Goblins, they're coming with the heads and the tail assemblies pre-built from the factory. Loctited and everything, but even now, I still, and a lot of people will still tear those apart and check them, make sure that all the thrust bearings are in there correctly and all the washers are in correctly, the dampeners and all that, and they're Loctited correctly, because a lot of people have taken those apart. I haven't had any issues with any of mine when I've checked them, but a lot of people have noticed like their thrust bearings, or they're missing a washer, or the thrust bearings are in backwards. Or whatever, you know what I mean? So it's always good to be sure to take those apart, even if the factory built those, and make sure they're done right.
Absolutely. You never know if you're going to get the kit that came off the line Friday at 5 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought about that way. That's true.
Exactly. Unless you got, you never know. They might hire some guy like TJ that doesn't know nothing about helicopters, and he's sitting there trying to put these things together.
I'll like, do anything for money.
Exactly.
Thrust bearing, smush bearing.
What's the difference between like this thrust bearing and this washer? They look the same to me. Who cares?
They'll never know.
As long as I can fit it together.
Who cares if I have to put 300-pound torque wrench on it?
We'll ship it to Mike anyways. He'll just crash it.
All right. Moving on to the last question.
Oh, no, no. No. Do you prefer, question number five, like I said, we got so many people that like RTFs, ARFs, plug-and-plays, kits, but we do have a couple of people that were very honest, and they believe in WWCS.
Oh, yes, I remember the answer. I think I chose that one, too.
Uh-huh. What, and I see, obviously, Paul, you must have been the other one that answered this, because it's whatever Wade can steal.
What was the percentage on that?
Only two people answered on that, but it comes out to 6.67%.
only two people answered that question.
So there was two people honest enough to admit that.
I think Wade marked that one.
I would hope so.
I marked it. I know
so
I did.
So that would be the two. And then the last question, question number six. Which is the better color, neon green or Hunter's orange? And the results, the final tally is in. And I'm sorry to say it, Mike, no matter how many times you voted, Hunter's orange was the preferred color.
Wow. I'm like, very disappointed in the group.
Yeah, we need a recount on that last question.
Yeah, there's something fishy going on. Dwayne must have paid some people off or something, because I know throughout the course of the podcast show, when we interview our guests, 90% of them have chosen fluorescent green. They glow green.
These were guests you chose, though.
That is
true. He's loading the deck.
Yeah.
He's exactly. Loading the deck.
Exactly. But they know they have to play by my rules, and I paid them well, but that's besides the point.
But this is the other thing I got to scratch my head on. 38 people took the survey, but only 29 answered this last question.
Well, maybe they didn't want to choose sides.
It was too hard for them to choose or to decide which way to go.
Yeah.
But it was actually, by the numbers, 14 to 15. 14 chose neon green, 15 chose Hunter's orange.
Damn it, I knew I should have taken the test two more times.
Well, that's still within the margin of error.
And I didn't even study for this test either, and I did all right, I think.
I don't think anybody did too bad.
Yeah. But no, that was a great test, or a great survey, and it was really fun, and we had a lot of response for it in the group. And speaking of the group, you know, there's a lot of listeners out there. There's not that many in the group. So if you're interested in joining the group, it's just a Facebook group on Facebook. Just search, you know, RC Hangar Time, and you'll be able to find that group and request to join it, and we'll get you added in as soon as possible. It's a really fun group. Everybody gets to, you know, share what they've done this week or what they've flown or their videos or their pictures or show what they're cooking for dinner.
Yeah, as I say, we also like to take pictures of our food.
Yeah, I think that I talked to you all on my last dinner that I posted. It was those steak fajitas were amazing.
What?
That I made.
That you rolled up? You didn't cook those? It's not yours. Rolling a fajita does not count as cooking.
It was kind of weird.
I microwaved the hot dog when I got home from the field today.
See, now that's Mike Connor cooking.
Yeah.
Microwave hot dogs.
Yeah, that's one of
those little frozen Swanson lasagnas.
No, I don't use the microwave. I throw it in the oven because I don't like the way microwave food tastes. So I put it in the oven. It may take
long. You probably don't like to drink water out of a hose either.
It really tastes really metally to me, so I prefer bottled water.
Oh. Do you drink it with the pinky up?
Yes. In a teacup.
In a teacup. But other than that, that's all I've got for news.
Cool. Yeah, that was a good survey. Hopefully, look out for more surveys like that. I'm sure we're going to do those more often and read the results on the podcast show. It definitely adds something else to talk about and a little more interaction between, you know, us hosts and our listeners and fans of the group.
No, definitely. I mean, the reason why I kind of thought of doing the survey is just to kind of see what everybody in the group does. What do they like to do? Do they like to fly planes, or do they actually waste their time on helicopters, or, you know, what do they like to do? So it's good to know.
Exactly. Cool. Should we move on to our guest of the week?
Let us move on.
All right, you're listening to RC Hangar Time. For more information, please check out our website, www.rchangartime.com. You can also check us out on Facebook. Just search RC Hangar Time.
All right, so as mentioned before, we have a special guest with us, and we got Michael Crash Hancock with us. Most of you guys may know him from a little podcast show called The Crash Cast.
It's a little one.
Yeah, it's a little one. I think it'd be a tight race between the Crash Cast and RC Hangar Time. But anyways, So we want to get a little bit – we want to ask you a few questions, grill you with some hard topics, and get to know you a little bit better, Crash.
Okay, 42.
Yeah,
we want to know about the unicorn.
Dude, no.
we're going to get that. We're going to get
that. Yes. So not just unicorns, but pink unicorns. Yes.
Oh, man.
We'll get there. But first of all, let's give everybody, you know, I mean, if you want to disclose your age, your location, and, you know, what got you into flying and what you're currently flying now, that'd be great just to hear from you.
Okay. Well, I'm 14. I'm in ninth grade.
Wow. And... you've got a deep voice for a 14-year-old.
You must smoke.
Oh, I am 46 years old, fast going on 47. I live in sunny and super damn hot Waco, Texas. Not the place you want to be in the summertime. I fly just a little bit of everything. Helis, not so good. But everything else. I've flown anything from 110-inch wingspan, extra 260, which, you know, I don't have anymore. You know, all the way down to the tiny micros. I was flying small before small was in. And as of late, man, it's all been all about the multi-rotors. It's kind of been my thing.
Don't helis and multi-rotors kind of go hand in hand?
Well, you know, they do. It's funny you should mention that, because one of my weaknesses on the simulator, let's just say I rock. You know, I can flip, I can TikTok, I can do it all. And occasionally I have to hit the red button and reset. But my biggest problem is fast forward flight. It always has been. I can nose, you know, scoot around. I can do slow flight, slow figure eight, slow circles, where I've got time to think about keeping that boom behind the pod. But anything faster than that, I'm just not good at it. I guess as you get older, reflexes go. Not good reaction times, but with the multi-rotors, with the quadcopters, yeah, you are flying it, you're banging the rudder, and I was kind of hoping that multi-rotors will hone my skills a little better, get that coordination up so that I can't. Carl and I are going to do a little trade here for too much longer. I'm done with Nitro for the most part, and I've got a brand spanking new version 1 Raptor 30, and I'm going to send it up to him. And I'm going to get his Century, his electric Century, and I'm going to go to the electric side of helis. And hopefully, after this year's summer, over the CrashCast, we've made this summer our summer of multi-rotors and FPV. And that's been our focus, most all of us in the gang. And hopefully, maybe by the end of the summer, and it's fast approaching, I'll have my skills honed up enough that I'll feel a little more comfortable with my heli flying.
Sounds good. I flown a few multi-rotors and, you know, had my hands on a few quads and owned a few. And I actually find them, for me, a little bit harder to fly than a regular helicopter, because my issue with them was telling orientation. Which way is the front? Which way is the back? Which way is the left? Which way is the right? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
with the heli, I know exactly where it is and I have a good feel for it in the air. With the quadcopter, it's like, I don't know about this.
I agree, because you and most importantly, you don't have a boom hanging out the back to give you a clue as to the orientation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, that's been pretty much what I've been after here lately, and I've been manufacturing my own and trying to hit a little niche market there to help support our show a little bit.
Yeah,
and it's been a lot of fun.
Speaking of your show, we mentioned the CrashCast. You know, you do the podcast, the CrashCast. How long have you been doing that, and what got the idea started that you wanted to, you know, create a podcast?
Well, it's interesting. You know, I have been, I guess we should take it back to the roots. I've been flying for 31 years, and I was just this punk 13-year-old kid wanting to get into the hobby. And I knew that I wanted to fly radio-controlled airplanes since I was 10 years old. Unfortunately, without having anybody around me to support that hobby, it just never came into fruition. Then as I got to be, you know, a teenager, voila, I lived in Eastern Oklahoma, and a friend and coworker with my stepdad at the time, my stepdad was a chief in the Coast Guard. his another chief along with him was into radio controlled airplanes, and he was just getting started. And he took me under his wing. And I mean, I had stacks of RC Modeler magazine and Model Aviation magazine to pore over. I had a person that I could call up on the phone and ask questions to. And then ultimately I had people in the Fort Smith Aero Modeler or Fort Smith Flight Masters Club is what it was, that helped me out and helped me learn to fly. And, you know, you flash forward, I retired 6 years ago from the printing and packaging industry, and I had all this time on my hands. And you can't be in the hobby as long as I have without gleaning a few hints and tips along the way. Mm-hmm. And I got to thinking about it, and I had an opportunity for a short spell. For about 6 months, I was on a podcast called RC Flightcast. And I served, I think, 24 episodes with them. And then they decided to take the show in a different direction. And I was no longer on the show. And it was, oh my gosh, several hundred emails saying, you know, where's Crash? Where'd Crash go? We want Crash back. And anyway, letters found their way to me and people coaxed me into starting my own show. So I did. And we are up to, my gosh, I'd have to look at my note sheet, 222 episodes in the can. We've been doing it for 4.5 years. We're in our fifth season right now. Wow. And the whole object of the Crashcast is for me to have an opportunity to try to give back to a hobby that was so generous to me. In this day and age, RC is so easily attainable. You know, a young person can go in and buy a bind and fly e-flight product and actually learn to fly. And, you know, back when I was learning to fly, I mean, there were no ARFs. You built a kit if you wanted to fly. And, you know, I learned how to do all these things. But now, you know, you may have some young person that was just like me at the age of 13 years old that really, really wants to fly but doesn't have anybody around him. And I kid you not, I spend easily 6 to 8 hours a week answering emails, answering questions. And a lot of them are young people that are starting out in the hobby without any support other than me and the internet. Just like I started out, except I didn't have the internet. And, you know, when I got started in the hobby, you tied up $500-$600 to get started. And now you can go into a hobby shop with, in some cases, $100 in your hand and walk out with everything you need to go fly an airplane.
Yep,
and,
right. Even a helicopter, you can go and get you a ready to fly, you know, MSRX or something for $100-something.
That's right. And over the time, the Crashcast has evolved. We do, every once in a while, you'll actually learn some information. but a lot of times we get into these grooves where we just, you know, just cut up and share what we're up to and what we're doing and answer a few listener emails on the show. But you never know what you're going to hear over there. And we've taken, earlier this year, we started, you had Carl Kettler, one of my co-hosts, on last week. Mm-hmm. And great guy, great asset to our show. And, you know, he prodded me along, hey, let's get back into, let's do a live stream of the show. So we actually stream the show live as we record it simultaneously. And we get a lot of fun interaction right there in the chat box through the show. So it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And if you want to tune in, if you want to check that out, I always post, we have a Facebook fan page. If you go to Facebook, you can search The Crash Cast, all one word, and it'll take you to our fan page. And every week before we start our live show, I put a reminder out on that and on Twitter to let folks know, hey, come on over. And I actually use TalkShoe to host the call so we can stream live. Sometimes it works well, sometimes it doesn't. Either way, it's out of my hands. But we routinely have about 4 dozen folks that check in and listen to us live and try to break my train of thought and and so forth.
Yeah. Yeah, no, the Crashcast is a good show. I listen to it. I even was a guest on there at one point in time.
Yes, you were.
Good, had a lot of fun. Else, huh? Yeah, they were really scraping the bottom of the barrel there. I kind of told him, you need more heli content, dude. Seriously.
Well, that's the reason we have Carl, thank goodness, because he can answer some of our technical questions on helicopters that I'm just not into them enough to do.
Yeah.
Lord, he can.
And you know, it's funny because in talking to Carl in the past, Carl was just entertaining the idea of RC in general. And it was, if memory serves, he had shared with me that I actually got him into the RC hobby, which he ended up going to the helicopter discipline primarily. But it was once a year we try to do a big, we call it Crashes Scratch Build Club. We try to push our listeners to build along with us, either a scratch build or sometimes a kit build project. And I covered 2.5 years ago, we did a do-it-yourself. We call it the QSC. It's a coin that I term that I coined a long time ago. Quick, simple, cheap tricopter using the multi-wee hand-wired stuff. And I think that's what sucked him into this hobby addiction.
I enjoy the Crash Cast. I can tell you, I like being in the chat box. It's like a whole separate show going on there, yet it's still connected.
Yeah. And you know what you find? I'm sure you listen to the show, but you're participating in the chat log, and then you find yourself having to go back and download the show and listen to it because you missed some of it because you were cutting up in the chat log. As I watch you guys, I know what you're
right.
doing. I download it and read it afterward.
There you go.
I had a chance to listen to it live. I wanted to do that just to.
So, well, I listened to the show last week when you were talking about, where you got the inspiration for this latest quad frame from the gentleman in Sweden. I took a look at that. That's really cool. How did you design yours? What did you take from his that you put into yours?
Well, actually, let's talk about that. I was looking for inspiration for an indestructible quadcopter frame because Lord knows I have crashed a few and trying to find that inexpensive, easy to do. And, I have a whole shop full of, home-built CNC mills and machines and so forth. So I have the ability to manufacture pretty much anything I want. But in looking for inspiration for this, I combed the internet, just basically went to Google, went to images, and typed in quadcopter. And I poured through just hundreds and hundreds of images. And then when I came across this quadcopter frame, and if you go back and you look at the crashcast.com and look at our previous show notes, you'll find a link to this. But there's a gentleman that goes by the name of X, E-C-K-S, and he's in Sweden. His name is Cameron. And he had designed, I guess, seeking a similar goal to me, a very small quadcopter, and he makes it out of wood. And he does a beautiful job. And he sells them. And he sells a painted version. It's a little more expensive, but it is just dynamite. But when I came across that picture, I thought, oh, that's it. That's what I need. So I started off.
So you didn't go the Hobby King route and just kind of order one and, reverse engineer it?
No. I didn't do that. But I'm, fairly, I guess, clever with the CAD programs and stuff. And he was doing something I'd never seen done before. He had built a super small version. Basically, he built one on 310 millimeter centers, meaning that if you span, you take the span from one motor shaft to the farthest motor shaft, then it's 310 millimeters, which only allows you to use an 8-inch prop. So it keeps everything down nice and small, and I was really impressed with that. So I opened up my CAD program, and I drew an X, and I made the centers, 310 millimeters off. And I studied his design, and I realized that from a strength standpoint, I don't think that you could possibly mill a design any different than what he's done and maintain the strength while keeping the frame light. So I basically just kind of freehanded a very similar thing. And that's what we're doing right now. I'm in the second prototype. I'm about to start drawing up the third prototype. But instead of doing it out of wood means you use a CNC machine, you mill it all out. Now you've got to sand it and seal it, and you've got to go through and paint it or, whatever. But it's not going to be unbreakable.
Yeah.
And I just happen to have some spare plastics on hand. And I took an old, I'm a ham radio operator, and I had bought some, of all things, cutting boards to manufacture some parts out of what I thought was HDPE. It actually turned out to be polypropylene. But I had leftovers from that antenna project, and I had one big enough, and I thought, well, lo and behold, a 310 millimeter quadcopter frame is going to fit right in this form factor. So I chalked it up on the machine, wrote out some machine code for it, cut it out, and flew it. Yeah. And while it was heavier than I wanted, it was great.
Isn't that polypropylene a little bit brittle?
No, actually, it's not. It's it's more brittle than the material that I'm using now, but it was very stiff and very easy to machine. Yeah. So with the right bits, because I'd already purchased the – it's like a $50, $48 bit just to cut this stuff. Oh, yeah. Anyway, I got a hold of some HDPE, which has a little more flex to it, just a skosh heavier, but you won't break it.
Yeah.
I have taken it out and pounded it in the street. My neighbor's looking at me funny. But then again, my neighbors often look at me funny because I'm flying things in the front yard and everything.
You still have the wacky flailing arm guy out there?
I haven't put him out in a while. I'm about due to put him out in the front yard and let him dance.
Now, what's his full name again?
He is a wacky flailing arm inflatable waving tube man. And that's not exactly how it's said on Family Guy, but that's the way it stuck in my head.
I just always loved hearing that, especially when you guys were getting ready to go to
the stuff. And that was the episode that I was a guest on, was the wacky inflatable flailing arm man tube guy thing.
There you go. Close enough. Oh yeah. But anyway, I've got this design worked up. The intent is to sell it. You know, I don't work. Kids are going to be going back to school soon, and my listeners have been so supportive of the show that I've done is put up a little donate button. As you know, Mike, that it costs money to host a podcast, and with the website fees and everything I have, I'm putting out money to the tune of just under $500 a year. And usually my listeners I'll put up a button usually around November, a little donate button, and people will donate whatever they feel like they want to donate. And that supports the show. But I've always felt crummy about that. So yeah. If I can sell a few of these frames, I can support the show myself and I don't have to pass the hat around and panhandle. So that's what our goal is. But it's looking like a pretty good project. The first one, 310 millimeter out of the polypropylene, weighed in at 8.8 ounces. And while that was portly, it still flew very well. I was able to take it to altitude, do some flips with it. Flew pretty good. Well, the new frame that is out of HDPE is weighing 4.9 ounces. It has just enough flex so that if it hits the ground, nothing's going to break. You won't break the frame.
Yeah.
Flies way better. And the prototype that I flew today, that I just finished this afternoon and I flew today, it's using cheap. We're using Blue Wonder motors, 1200 kV Blue Wonder motors. But I stepped up, instead of running an 8.4 prop, I'm running 8.4 three-blade props. And this one is, it punches out with authority. So this one's going to be fun.
Nice. When are you going to build me a collector pitch quadcopter?
Ooh, you know, I've thought about that, but I don't think that I will ever go down that path. But number one, I'm all about quick, simple, and cheap, QSC. And then also, we've already got Mr. Curtis Youngblood, who, you know, lives just an hour and a half, 2 hours from me.
Yeah.
And he's got his version of it out. And, man, I could never beat what Mr. Youngblood's doing. I mean, that guy's... He's amazing.
He's definitely a pioneer of in everything from what he's done from helis to now the Stingray is just amazing. And even his Radix blades they're amazing as well.
Yeah, I've got a few sets of his for my 450 machines. He's the best. Really. Yeah.
I'm actually really contemplating one of those Stingrays. I think it'd be fun.
There may be one in my future, maybe next year, maybe before Ceph.
Yeah.
I want to go to Ceph one of these days.
So cool.
Dude, you got to. Ceph is, if you do it the way we do it, it's a 9-day rave. It is just RC 24/7 for 9 days. And the event is only a week long, but, you know, we like to sandwich a few days before and after.
Right. I'm still there. I've got to try to go next year.
Oh. Well, look for the wacky flailing arm inflatable waving tube man. You'll find me, and you're welcome to camp right there with us.
Speaking of Ceph, I know that TJ has a burning question he'd like to ask.
Oh, great. I know where this is going.
You know this is where going? Well, then what's up with the pink unicorn?
Okay,
let's hear the story.
And it has really gotten out of hand lately, hasn't it?
I can't exactly pinpoint when all this started. First of all, let me say first and foremost, because nobody believes me when I say it on my show, I have no affinity for unicorns.
Not what Carl says at all.
I have no interest in them. I have an 11-year-old daughter and an 8-year-old daughter that both dig on them. But no, I have no interest in it. But I think it all started with a picture. I was dared, and there was money involved it started off with me making snide comments about the young teenage girls standing in their bathrooms with their iPhones, taking pictures of them with a duck lip expression. And I thought, you know, that's just silly. And I should do that. I was in a cocky mood. I should do something like that. Well, my good buddy.
That was an awesome picture.
My good buddy Hans, I said, you put enough money on it, you know, he says, I'll give you $5 to put it up for your post for a week, your avatar for a week. And then I just, you know, ever so stupidly said, yeah, you do that, thinking nobody's ever going to send me. I didn't even have time to get up and walk away from the computer before I had new mail and I had money sent via PayPal. So I let my hair down. Those that know me know I've got, well, I don't have very long hair now, but I usually grow my hair out just stupid long. And every 2 years I cut it and I donate it to Locks of Love. And I've done that I've done 14 contributions. So how many people can say that?
Yeah, that's awesome.
It's been a lifetime thing. So anyway, my hair was long. I hadn't cut it yet. So I brushed it all out, popped the ponytail out, stood in front of my mirror, made my best duck lips, and took a cheesy picture and posted it. Little did I know, I've heard this expression before, the internet is forever. Boy, do I know. Hans's $5 bought me years worth of humiliation. So anyway.
That's all you got paid for that was $5.
Yeah, and because I never thought he would do that. Now, I won't make that mistake twice. Anyway, so then, I don't know, between iFlyOS, one of my co-hosts, Tim King, Navion Flyer, Tim Walker, Carl, I'm sure had something to do with it too. You know, they're cutting up back and forth. They all decided that old effeminate Crash must like unicorns too, and anyway, one thing leads to another. I go to Seth and Jim Reith, racores.com, very dear friend of mine, presents me with an airplane. And it is the most day glow, brightest pink you've ever seen. It hurt me with my sunglasses on. And they had taken that picture of me doing the duck lips and cut it out, blew it up, cut it out, and put it on each side of the unicorn's face. Pink unicorn. And it was ready to fly. And so I'm trying to laugh this off. Yeah, what the heck? And by golly, we flew it. We put lights on it, thanks to Tom of AfterDarkLED.com. He donated the lights. We flew that sucker at night, every night. We told everybody during the daytime when we'd see him, you know, if you partake of enough adult beverage, chances are mythical, magical beings are going to show at night. And sure enough, they did. But yes, it was the Ceph of Unicorn because Tim and his wonderful 3D printer, I woke up one morning to a nice painted white unicorn antenna topper on my truck. And I was afraid to take it down because if I did, I'm sure another one would have replaced it if I'd have turned my back long enough.
I'm sure.
I go to grab my great trusty JR9303 to go to the flight line to fly combat. And what do I see? On the end of my neck strap, on my radio, clasped on, is a nice little unicorn keychain emblem. And several of those popped up. And every day I was worried. I was afraid that I was going to wake up, roll out of my little 6x10 cargo trailer, and find that they had unicorn stickers all over my trailer. Fortunately, that didn't happen. But it could still. I've got to go to Hafey in a couple of months. But yeah, they've decided that I like unicorns, and it's been a big joke. And I have Lane popped up, ElmoPar69 popped up on a show, and just out of frickin' nowhere told everybody that if Crash gets 200 enchanted unicorn band-aids sent in the mail, then he's going to give away a kit. Well, I'm up to 4 boxes of unicorn band-aids.
So how many is in a box?
I don't know. I can't, without my reading glasses, I can't see. Oh, crap. There's 15, so we're up to 60 now.
We need to order more. We need to get you some more Band-Aids.
So can you give our listeners an address to send you Band-Aids?
I would not. No, I won't.
actually, Mike, I have his address. If you haven't moved in the last couple of years, want to send him some barbecue sauce?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody contact me. I will give you my address, and I'll get it shipped to him.
I will send him a case.
Oh man!
I've noticed that you've been getting a lot of. You've been posting on your fan page that you've been getting a lot of stuff in the mail lately.
I'm holding in my hand right now a unicorn sprinkles shaker. It's a nice little plastic rainbow colored unicorn that when you flip it upside down, rainbow colored sprinkles come out its butt onto your cupcakes. Yes, I've got.
That's too much.
I've got these. You know how you used to get key guards on your car keys? You know, little plastic so you could see the color and know what car key went to what car?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. I've got unicorn key guards.
Oh, how cute.
Yeah. And you know what? This is what really gets me. My wife comes in today and she says, oh, I thought you might need these. She took the girls out shopping. She got me some freaking unicorn band-aids. She's even in on it.
She's in on it even.
She loves you.
Yeah, she does.
She knows the truth.
She certainly puts up with me. Yeah, she knows the truth. Yeah, so that's the story behind the unicorn. Maybe you'll have to have me back another time to talk about the assless chaps. But you know, with that.
Okay, that's a whole nother show.
That's a whole nother show.
Yes. Leave that one for another time, or maybe even another podcast show.
Yeah, leave that one for Dwayne and Wade.
Yeah, that's right up Dwayne's alley.
Well, we have a lot of fun, and I tend to be the butt of everybody's joke. But we have a lot of fun.
Yeah, I know how it goes. I'm the hilly guy, and I get a lot of it from these airplane guys.
Oh, he called us airplane guys. He didn't say plankers.
I know. Oh. I'm trying to be the better man here. But here's the deal. It's like I crashed 2 helicopters, and everybody thinks that's all I do is crash. Now, it's like, seriously? Every time it's like, well, at least I don't crash as much as you do. It's like, dude, I crashed 2 times.
That's all it takes.
Although I crashed.
Because those are the only 2 you showed us of your crashing. We know you crashed a lot more than that.
Well,
I've had 5 crashes this year.
I've crashed so much that, well, my nickname is Crash. So there you go.
I have 2.5, and I only call it half because if it doesn't get off the ground, does it still count as a crash?
Yes.
No, I beg to differ. I don't think so.
It's a taxiing incident.
Yep. According to the FAA, if your wheels never left the ground, it's an incident.
Okay. So I had 2 crashes and 1 incident so far this year.
I haven't crashed anything in a couple of years other than, well, combat. I landed my combat plane in Hodges Pond last year. But that's that, you know, when you go into combat, you know you're going to crash something.
Yeah, that's the point of it.
Yeah, and I've, you know, crashed some quadcopters, wooden quadcopters that I've done, but that's only because, well, I'm trying to flip them 8 feet off the ground. Not good. But, I mean, that's self-imposed. You know that's coming, just like combat. Yeah, you know that's going to come eventually. But as far as oopsie, dumb thumb, I haven't had one of those in a long time.
Yeah. Yeah, I've only had the one, the Goblin 700. That was complete dumb thumb. The galley ones, those were all mechanical, which kind of sucked.
I don't know how you heli guys do it. You know, I look at 3D, and I keep hoping that 3D is going to be like RAP. It's, you know, like I did with, well, let's go back. When RAP came along, I thought, it'll be like disco. Give it a couple of years, it'll go away. It didn't go away. And I'm hoping that 3D helis will go the way of disco and maybe eventually RAP. And the fact that, you know, it's cool. I have the greatest amount of respect for the Thrashers. I just watched that video yesterday or day before with the one, Kyle Dahl, doing his thing. And it's like, oh, my gosh, that is just freaking amazing. But
with those streamers that he pulled out.
Oh, that was cool. That was because I'd never seen it done before. But
yeah, that was amazing.
What I can't understand, it's cool, but to somebody who doesn't fly them, most people can't fully appreciate the stick commands and the inputs that are going in and the timing it takes to pull off 3D flights. For me, I'm a sport flyer. Now, a sport flyer, if you do an occasional, we'll say Red Bull loop or roll. You know, I like stall turn pirouettes. I can do those. Mm-hmm. But that's the extent of me because I can understand the stick movements. I don't know how those folks do it.
Yeah, some of them, even to me, they boggle my mind. Some of their stick movements, like I'll see a certain maneuver and it's like trying to wrap my head around and it's like, well, I don't get it.
Yeah, it's lucky controlled chaos. It's what it looks like. And yeah, speaking of that, man, your TikToks, cool.
Oh yeah, I forgot to mention that I started doing Aileron TikToks this week.
And yeah, they look really good.
Yeah, that was really fun. I'm starting to progress a little more. Are you playing as a tune, Paul?
No, why?
Oh, it sounds like
some weird pulsations coming from you.
Yeah. Is that your version of a TikTok?
Gyrations.
No, you know what? I'm on my phone again this week, and that might be the haptic feedback.
Ah.
It's the NSA listening in.
Yeah. That's it.
Yeah, well, they want to learn
how to. No, they want to learn how to do TikToks.
Here you go. You know, the first time I ever saw what we call now 3D, I was down in Austin, Texas, and it was a big bird fly-in down there. And it was the first time I had an opportunity to meet Curtis Youngblood. And they said, "Oh, you got to watch him. He is an amazing pilot." And I watched him to see a helicopter. Now we understand trying to wrap our brain around the physics of flight and aviation. But he's doing end over end, tail over nose, and then nose over tail, flips, and he's feet off the runway, and it defied gravity. And the first time I saw TikToks, him doing TikToks, it was like, why is that not hitting the ground? Because aileron TikToks, if you do them tight, there's no way. It's like it's swimming up in the air. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And I just, it's amazing how far helis have come. Just, you know, when I got into the hobby 31 years ago, people were still flying sans gyros. There weren't gyros. There were mechanical gyros that weren't effective.
Exactly. A lot of those helis, they had zero gyros on the tail back in the day. I'm spoiled. I started where, you know, all this fly barless stuff came out and these new gyros. So I didn't have to deal with trying to fly a non-gyro helicopter. I'm sure that, you know, I've heard horror stories of how hard it was and you couldn't hardly do anything. And, you know, the maneuvers that we do today wouldn't be possible on, you know, some of those stuff.
Oh, they can't even, they back then in those days, they couldn't even fathom, you know, anything close to what is simple 3D nowadays. It's amazing. And now on top of that, you got flybarless systems, which I say that flybarless systems are to helicopters what like the multi-wee flight stabilization is to my multi-rotors. Because,
yeah,
you know, a multi-rotor would be pretty much unflyable without that. And a flybarless helicopter without the flight stabilization systems, I think, would be unflyable.
Yeah, for sure.
You see, so that's how us plankers are better. We don't need assisted computer boards to help us fly. We fly for real.
And you know what? Sure. I don't own a single thing with AS3X because I don't need it.
Yeah, then what's the deal with those gyros coming out for airplanes?
That's the work of the devil.
Yeah, that's for guys like you, Mike, that need that help because you can't fly without it.
Oh, I fly airplanes pretty good, kind of.
See?
No confidence at all there, was it?
Have you seen,
said the words, but he didn't mean them.
Have you seen me fly an airplane? I fly them just like I fly a helicopter. It's just prop hanging and knife
crashing.
Edges and no crashing. No crashing.
I
haven't ever crashed an airplane half as bad as I've crashed a helicopter.
That's only because it only costs half as much.
Yeah. Amen. I still can't torque roll and hang on the prop. Now I can high alpha with the best of them, but I just don't have the reaction time for it.
I don't know. I try on the simulator, but I crash so bad on the simulator, I got to pay for repairs there too.
The worst crash I ever had was the second airplane I ever built back in, I don't know, 94, 95. It was a Great Plains Dazzler, which is a little fun fly 40 size airplane. I flew it through a chain link fence. It was like a cheese grater.
You know, I almost built one of those because it's a cheap kit, and I was going to do it as an electric. I was wanting to do it as electric, but with it being a mid-wing design, the only place that you have to put a battery on it is to hang it on the bottom between the landing gear.
That's true. There's no room.
Yeah, but I may still do one because I, you know, $69, cheap kit, put it together in a weekend. Yep. I may still get one. And they look good.
Yeah, they fly well. They just don't go through fences very well.
No, nothing. Chain link is not good on anything.
No.
Nice. So what else? What else you got for us?
Oh, I don't know. I would say if you're interested in getting into quads, there are a lot of fine quadcopter manufacturers out there, but I'm going to have a little frame available that I'm going to be selling before. I give it about 2 weeks, and if you're interested in that, listen to the Crashcast, and we'll tell you how to get one. They are they're a lot of fun. They're not as hard as helicopters, and they're cheap. I mean, you know, you can build up a quadcopter for $150. And when I first got into this stuff, you know, back in the day, we were doing 2.5 years ago, we were hand wiring multi-Wii flight control systems because we couldn't get boards. The only person that manufactured boards were Alex and Paris, and they were unobtainium. Every time he'd get stock on, they'd all be gone. So my friend John down in Florida and I worked together and we designed our own card where we were putting together group orders so that people could do it. We'd made nothing off of them and you could sit there and solder them all up, make them yourself. But by the time you put one of those together, you were going to spend $130, $140. Now you can build a whole stinking quad for that. We've got companies like readytoflyquads.com, White Spy, my friend Paul, he's the one that owns that. He has a multi-Wii based flight stabilization system called the Flip 1.5 that costs $15.
Wow.
And wow. That's just awesome.
$15.
So, I've got a question about your quad.
Okay.
Are you keeping it the same size, that small one that you were talking about, so it probably won't carry a GoPro?
I'll tell you what. You know, the one that I built first is, you know, the frame alone weighed almost 9 ounces. The new frames weigh 5 ounces. The one that weighed the porker flew great. You know, flight time about 6 minutes. You know, it was small, it was heavy. But with the difference in weight, that right there on the new lighter frame is a GoPro. So, yeah, it'll carry because a GoPro is 3.9 ounces without the case. You put the case on it, you get up to closer to 6 ounces. Mm-hmm. But right now we're doing a 310 millimeter, and if that is successful and folks like it, I've already got everything drawn up to go to a little bit bigger size to go up to it's 346 millimeter, which basically allows you to use all the same components, but you can step up to a 9-inch prop, which is going to give you a little more thrust and it's going to weigh a little more naturally, more material, but that might also be a good platform for strapping on a GoPro.
Gotcha. And what size battery is this going to run off of?
They are the small one like I have here. I have flown it off of 3S 1300, and that makes it much lighter, much more flickable, and all the way up to, I've been putting on the 3S 2200s, and I've even got, because of the ready-to-fly quad components that I bought for the original, it will handle 4S. So with 8-inch props on 3S, yeah, it's okay. You know, it flies. It's a good beginner model. You step up to 4S, and it becomes a little monster, nice. Which is pretty good. So, but I've got plans. I don't know. Maybe we'll try to get up to a 450 size. You get to a point of diminishing return when you're dealing with materials like high density polyethylene. Yeah. It's just not going to support a very large platform. But again, the frames that I'm going to be making, I was even thinking I may even throw it out. If you buy a frame from me and you break it in some fashion by, you know, breaking the frame, you send it back to me within that first year and I'll send you a free one. So because I believe you can't break it.
So you get a 1 year warranty.
Yeah.
What if I cut it in half with my helicopter?
Ooh, I don't think you'd do that. In fact, I just don't think, even with the inertia, you're running 700 size, you're running around 1600 to 1800 RPM, carbon blades. Nah, you're going to shatter a blade.
All right. What about a hacksaw?
A hacksaw? Well, that's not during flight.
Oh, you don't know about Mike. You don't know how he flies.
Yeah, I fly with a chainsaw, actually. So.
Well, only if it comes with video. You got to send the frame back with video.
Okay.
What are you, Hobby King now?
No, I want to see that devastation. You guys use Hobby King? I'm not a Hobby King guy.
Yeah, me neither.
I've got
friends who've had their designs just out and out robbed, and I just don't believe in doing business like that.
Yep.
I'll pay a little more for the same stuff from a trusted American vendor than I will sending my money direct to China.
For true.
True, true. I'll admit I do order occasionally from them, but I usually use Grayson Hobby or Heads Up RC.
That's right.
I love those guys.
Laser Toys is another good one. Heads Up RC, I've been trading with Jeff Anderson for a long time, and I have never gotten a bad deal from him. And the cool thing is okay, you're going to pay a little bit more, and now you're going to pay, of course, the shipping associated. Of course, Heads Up's got real cheap shipping. You're going to pay a little bit more, but now you've got somebody that you can send it back to. You know, if it fails, you get it. You know, there's a such thing as infant mortality with the brushless motor. And you get a brushless motor in, you plug it up, it no worky. You call up Jeff, and he'll give you a return authorization, and he'll replace it for you. And you don't get that with Hobby King. I have yet to hear of Hobby King replacing anybody's anything that's been junk.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, and that's true. Things I order from there are just cheap things, cheap stuff.
Yeah, and sometimes, because I used to order from them too, and sometimes that is the best way. Let's face it, in these days, you know, I went from working a very lucrative career to having, I could piss away $1,500 a month on my hobby if I wanted to. And in some cases I did. Well, now I'm retired. I don't want to go back to work. So I've got a budget that I have to live up to. If I exceed that budget, no, I'm going to have to go back to work. I'm a stay at home dad, the hardest and most satisfying job I've had in my entire life. But I, you know, in order to keep this going, now I have to look at everything by a budget. And like, let's face it, like most modelers in your audience and in my audience. So I actually have more fun with a hobby nowadays, you know, scrutinizing every purchase than I probably ever have.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's all I'll say for Jeff there. Heads Up. His service is impeccable. I've placed orders on a Friday night or Saturday morning and within an hour or two have an email that he's got it boxed and shipped. And it's just, you don't get that from anybody, really.
No, you don't.
It's crazy.
Laser Toys is another good one. I've been doing business here lately with West Michigan Park Flyers. If you're into the foamies and the stuff that you can build really inexpensive and throw it up in the air and fly it in your front yard, backyard, whatever. Man, Greg and Barb Markley over at West Michigan Park Flyers have done nothing but treat me good. I just built and reviewed their Tough Cub. And great little airplane. Super inexpensive. And hopefully, I'm going to have an opportunity to review their extra large Mako seaplane.
And nice.
With any luck, I'll get it before Seth so I can glom it all together and take it and fly it off Hodges Pond. Because, you know, in Waco, Texas, got a big old lake, got a couple of lakes surrounding. The Corps of Engineers have us all sewn up. We cannot fly radio control off of any of the bodies of water around here. So I have to drive 908 miles to go fly off water.
That's ridiculous.
That's crazy. Yeah.
In Texas, that's not very far, though.
That's to Georgia. Okay. When I go to Hodges, to Andersonville, Georgia, that's where I get my float plane fix.
Crazy. Yeah. Well, we're running on time there.
Sweet. Well, real quick, you know, before you kill the record button and all, I just want to say thank you very much for having me on. And you guys are doing a great job. I enjoy tuning into the show. And it's neat because I don't like to build in my workshop listening to my own voice. And it's nice to have other podcasts like RC Hangar Time that I get to enjoy when I'm slaving away at the CNC machine or on the workbench building my newest creation.
Yeah. So
thank you for what you do.
Yeah, and I'm glad that we were able to get you on and, you know, have you be a guest for once, and so you don't have to, you know, do your own thing and edit and all that stuff. So let someone else do it.
Yeah, you can let Mike do it.
Yeah. And, you know, I wanted to thank you, too, for all the help that you helped me to get started with, you know, RC Hangar Time. Because I know when I had first thought about doing the podcast show, you know, I was very new to podcasts and had no clue what even a podcast was the first, you know, last year. I just never really got into them. And I had a lot of questions and, you know, you were there helping me, answering my questions and kind of led me down the right ways and helps me out a lot to get started and taught me a lot of stuff.
Well, you're very welcome, because I knew it was win-win for me too, because again, I get something to listen to. Of just one final word of advice, no matter how much somebody like Hans Andresen dares you to do pictures, never do them. Trust me.
Exactly, because it will never end. You will be forever known as the Unicorn Man.
That's right. And for those that don't know, I am 6'9". I go about 325, and I am not anything but a menacing appearance. And yet I'm the Unicorn Man.
Big dude, and he likes his pink unicorn.
Yeah. He's the monster unicorn, man.
Oh, the internet is forever.
Yes, it is.
Crash, I want to thank you, too, because you've done... You're like my RC hero. There's a lot of things I've done in RC here because of you, and listening to your podcast got me into build my first kit. I don't know if you remember the email I sent you on that. I built a Stevens Aero model.
Yes, I do.
RC kit. And just listening to your show, always about, you know, building and building and building, and you learn more from building your own plane than you do from an ARF kit. And since then, I haven't built any more balsa kits since then, but I've been scratch building a lot of foam planes since then, and I think it all started because of you. So thank you. Okay. And everything that you give to everybody in our hobby, it's a big thing
for everybody. Normally the feedback I get is wives saying, "You stupid enabler." It's nice to hear the good positive things. Yeah, built that the one that was, it was a transparent yellow and purple, or yellow and blue.
Yeah, or white and blue. It was all transparent.
White and blue. That's right.
Yeah, the G300.
That's it. I remember it now. See, I before names, I remember airplanes usually, and there's two of them there. Hans was the one that built the one that was transparent yellow.
Yep.
And I dig seeing those pictures back because I said, ooh, maybe I want to build one of those too.
I do have to admit, I've had to rebuild it. I was having so much fun flying it. I flew till the battery died and didn't have enough to bring it back down in one piece.
Yeah. But you know, because you built it, you can rebuild it.
Yep. Oh, I did. I just got to finish getting covered and get it back up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cause you do that with an ARF. Yeah. Good luck trying to find plans on that.
Cool. Well, that's all I got.
That's all I got.
I'm done too.
Yeah. Stick a fork in me.
Thank you very much for tuning into this week's episode of RC Hangar Time. Remember to help spread the word. You can find us on the web at www.rchangartime.com or just do a Facebook search for RC Hangar Time. We enjoyed having you. We just hope you enjoyed being had. And remember, have fun, be safe out there. We look forward to seeing you again next week.